Back to Ephesians chapter 1. I titled this message, The Work of the Trinity in Salvation. The Work of the Trinity. If we can get a hold of this and meditate upon this and chew upon this, it will give us so much comfort and peace to know that the whole Godhead is set for our salvation. A threefold cord, it says in the scripture, it cannot be quickly broken. This threefold cord cannot be broken. Paul starts out in this first chapter, and he gives us the work of the Father, the work of the Son, and the work of the Holy Spirit, and the saving of His people. Now, Paul wrote this epistle from prison. Does this sound like a man in prison? You would think that a man in prison would be writing about his shackles, his hardship, how bad things were. But right out of the gate, he comes out praising God. He comes out giving God the glory for salvation. He knew that his imprisonment was of God. He knew that he was the bond slave of Jesus Christ. And that was just part of the journey home, that prison. Part of the journey home. Part of preaching the gospel. Part of what he had to suffer. And he writes here. He says in verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Paul was the bond servant. We looked last Wednesday at the bond slave. He had his ear bored. Paul had his ear bored. He loved his master. And he proved his love to his master by his service. He was a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God made him an apostle, which means what we have before us was given to him directly from the Lord. He didn't get this from Peter, John, or the other apostles. He got this directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. He got his gospel from him. If it was left up to men in writing the scriptures, if it was left up to them, if they were not moved by the Holy Spirit, if it were left up to them in writing the scriptures, salvation would not be by grace. It would be by works, if it were left up to men. But they were moved by the Holy Spirit in writing the scriptures. And the fact that we understand and know that salvation is by grace from Alpha to Omega tells me that God inspired this. Because if it was left up to them, or us, or me, it would be by works. We wouldn't change. We wouldn't change it. And he writes to the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. Paul's not casting his pearls before swine. He's not doing that. He's casting his pearls before God's children. They are the only ones who will receive it. They are the only ones who will love it. You love this. You love the fact, the truth, that God chose you. Don't you love that? Not many do. You love the fact that Christ died to put away your sins. Not just sin, but your sin. Particular. It's a particular redemption. And you love the fact that the Holy Spirit has taken over you. He indwells you. He owns you. He has taken you over. You love that. But you're the only ones who love it. The world doesn't love it. False religion does not love it. You love it. You who believe the gospel, you love this. I never heard the book of Ephesians preached from, I'll put it this way, not the first part of it. Husbands, for wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. I heard that preached from. But this first part, that God chose me, that God chose a multitude of sinners, and Christ died for them, and Christ put their sins away, and the Holy Spirit comes and calls them, and they're born of God. I didn't hear that until I heard Henry Mahan. I heard him preaching the gospel on television. Now they skipped. Somehow the first and second chapters got overlooked. No, Paul says, I'm writing this to the saints. And that's who the Bible's written to. The Bible's written to the children of God. It's written to us. And he says, grace and peace be to you. Is there anything more that I could beseech God for on your behalf? Is there grace, God's unmerited favor? You don't deserve it. I don't either. And peace, as I grow older, peace is priceless. You see this commercial, they'll have this so, and then it says priceless. Peace is priceless. Peace with God and peace of conscience, peace in the heart. To be able to sit down and not look over my shoulders. Be able to sit down and know this. Now, know this by experience. Know this. That there is real peace between me and God made by His Son. I didn't make it. I wouldn't know where to start. And He starts out here as He ought to start out. In verse 3, blessed. And I can just see as he starts to write this, and he's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and this is rushing through his mind and his heart, and he's writing to these Ephesians, and he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is to be praised first. God the Father is to be praised first in all things. It says in the Scriptures that God is to be praised in the assembly of the saints. We've gathered here this evening for a little while. And for a little while, let's give Him praise. Let's give Him thanks. Let's give Him honor for all that He's done for us in His Son. It began with the Father. It began with Him. He's to be praised. And it says in Psalm 89, He's to be feared. He's to be feared. He's to be had in reverence. Reverence. You don't take the name of God. That's God's name. That's precious. You teach your children that. That's God's name. We don't take His name in vain. Use your own name. if you want to slam somebody's name, use yours. But not His. Not His name. Holy and reverend is His name. We are instructed to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed, holy, reverend is Thy name. Be careful how we use God's name. Use it in reverence. Use it in reverence. He says He's the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the God and Father of Christ as our mediator. That child that was formed in the womb of Mary is the Son of God. The Son of God. The Son's given. But now that child was created, was made, and He's our mediator. He's our mediator, and God's His Father. When you and I were born into this world, our ancestry ran all the way back to Adam. It goes all the way back to Adam. Christ does not go back to Adam. He doesn't go back to Adam. Adam had nothing to do with his birth. No sin of Adam or Mary. Her womb was just used of God. That's all it was. It was used of God to bring His Son into this world. Nothing of us, nothing of this sinful race entered into that child, to that man, the man Christ Jesus. And notice here it says, the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ hath blessed us. He blessed us with all spiritual blessings. I watch these religious programs off and on during the week. And I'll watch them for a little while. I don't hear of any spiritual blessings. They don't talk about spiritual blessings. They talk about living this victorious life, having, you know, God wants you to be rich, and God wants you to be this, that, and the other, and it has everything to do with temporal things. Has everything to do with temporal things. What is my greatest need? What's your greatest need? It's spiritual blessings. If I have spiritual blessings, the rest is just going to be added. It'll be added as I'm on my journey home and on your journey home. It'll be added. The things that we need are spiritual. Because those are the things we lost. We lost them all. We didn't even keep a trace of them. They're all gone. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. The same God and Father of Christ is also, and we need to get this and enjoy this, is also our God and Father. The same God and Father of Christ is our God and Father. Same one. And He hath blessed us, it says, in Christ. No blessings apart from Christ. No son is blessed from His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He blessed us. You see, salvation started with the Father. He purposed it. Before anything existed. Can you imagine that there was a time, if we want to call it a time, when there was a time when there was no time, but there was a time when it was just the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Nothing else existed. Nothing else existed. Just the Trinity. And the Father purposed to have a people just like His Son. Holy, unblameable, unreprovable in His sight. He said that's the way He's going to present us. Because that's the way He is. That's how He is. He purposed our salvation. He purposed our redemption. He purposed these things. Salvation was never an afterthought with God. It was never a rescue attempt. The cross of Christ is not a rescue attempt on humanity. It is a real salvation for a multitude of sinners that no man can number. And He's given us all that we need to be with Him where He is in the heavenlies. He's given us all we need. He says, come and die. We talked about that the other day going out last Sunday. He didn't tell us to bring a dish. You don't have to bring a dish. This is not a potluck. I don't know why we call that luck anyway. Where that ever came from? I don't know. I guess. Something. But it's not a potluck. It's a feast provided by Him. He said, come and dine. You're hungry? Come and eat. You're thirsty? Come and drink. He provided it all. He provided all of it. He's given us all we need to be with Him in the heavenlies. And all these spiritual blessings, that He's given us in Christ is all that heaven can bestow. Can you imagine that? It's all that can be given. You know, you parents, you give your children and you give them what you can give them. Let's put that on an infinite level now. God our Father has given us all that He can give us. All that there is to give. And we have it. All things are yours in Christ. It's just our Heavenly Father in wisdom deals it out to us. That's what we can, you know, He deals it out to us. But all things are yours in Christ. All things. And then verse 4. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. When did God the Father give us these blessings in Christ? When we believe? At the cross? This is so clear. This is so clear. Before the foundation of the world, before He spoke the first thing into existence, before He did anything, God the Father never starts anything that He has not already finished. You can write that down. He doesn't start anything that He has not already finished. He calls those things which be not as though they were. Christ said, you didn't choose me. I chose you. You know, election is a Bible word. It is a Bible word. It's a Bible doctrine. And it's to be preached. It's to be preached to God's people. God's people rejoice in it. Don't you? You rejoice in it. Now there's four things that the Father has bestowed on us before the worlds were made. Election, He chose us. Predestination, that's a Bible word. Adoption, you know, for someone to adopt a child, it's one thing, you know, my parents, they didn't have any choice about me. When I showed up, it was me. And it didn't matter. Whether the boy or girl, it didn't matter. I mean, it was me. But now when you go adopt somebody, you have a choice, don't you? You can choose a boy or a girl. You can choose their age. You can choose them whether they're a baby or whether they're older. And He adopted us. Listen, He chose us. He loved us. He knew us. And he said, that one's mine. That one is mine. But first, he chose us. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians. Paul writes this to all the churches. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. God chose you. He chose you out of this world. Could have left me. He could have passed me by. He could have passed me by. We sing that song, "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior." But instead, he didn't. He chose me. He chose everyone whom he saves. Then he predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. It says over in Romans 8:29, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son." He predetermined, the Father predetermined that those whom he chose would be just like his Son. In nature, character, be just like his Son. There's going to be a new heaven and there's going to be a new earth. It's actually going to happen. And on that new earth, there's going to be a population of sinners redeemed from this earth. That's going to be holy. They're going to love the Father just like the Lord loves him, just like his Son loves him, perfectly. We'll love him perfectly. We'll be righteous. Without spot or blemish. And everyone on that new earth will be like that. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine never having to lock your doors? Never, it'll never be dark. I'm going to say never be afraid of the dark, but it won't be dark. He's the light. You'll never be nighttime. No, there'll be no more night. Everyone will have a kind word. No gossip. Can you imagine? That's real. That's real. Adoption. When he chose us, he adopted us. He adopted us. And all this. Now listen, all this is according to the good pleasure of his will. It does not say, and all this he did because he was obligated. He created all this and now he's obligated to rescue it. No. Adam did what he wanted to do. And men and women do what they want to do. They do what they will to do. Everyone whom God saves, he saved according to the good pleasure. It is God's good pleasure to save you. It's his good pleasure. It has pleased God to make you his people. That's what it says over in the Old Testament. I can only trace my salvation back to the good pleasure of God's will. That's as far back as I can trace it. To the good pleasure of his will. Not free will. Not my cooperation. But to the good pleasure of God's will. And notice, he made us. He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. He's the one who did it. He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Who accepted whom? He accepted us in the Beloved. He's the one that did it. That was over Colossians 1. It was last Sunday. He made us fit, qualified to be partakers of the inheritance with the saints in life. And he made us accepted in the Beloved. Not apart from Him. Not apart from Him, but in Him. By His blood, by His righteousness, by His person, we are accepted. Accepted. Now we come to the work of the Son. It says in verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. In whom we have redemption. We have redemption in a person. The Father purposed our salvation. The Son purchased our salvation. In Christ, we have redemption. The law has no claims on us now. Now, we can, as much as we can, we can rejoice in that now, as much as we can in this flesh. But I'm telling you what, the day you die and you see God, boy, is that going to mean something. That's when you're going to really understand in whom we have redemption. We've been purchased. The price has been paid. Instead of that judge hitting that gavel saying, guilty, He says, I find no fault. Enter into the kingdom prepared for you by the Father before the foundation of the world. Enter in. In whom we have redemption. He paid the redemption price. His life and His blood. That's the redemption price of His people. Not silver and gold, but His life and His blood. Even, it says here, the forgiveness of sins. Even the forgiveness of sins. We've not only been purchased, we've been completely forgiven of all sin. And you know what that, here's what this means. We've been forgiven of sins. We've been forgiven far more than we know about. You know that? However bad you think you are, you're a lot worse. And so am I. He's forgiven us. We can't describe sin. There's not enough adjectives to describe sin. And He's put that away. That's gone. That issue's gone. The forgiveness of sins. And this is according to the riches of His grace. Our salvation is only according to the riches of His grace. Wherein, it says, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. His redemption, the gospel of redemption, has made known unto us God's wisdom in saving sinners. Do you know how God can be a just God and a Savior? Do you know how God can be a just God and forgive you? How did you learn that? You learned it through the gospel of redemption. God sent it to you. And one day you said, I see, I see, I see. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will. The natural man can't see this. There was a time I couldn't see it. There's a time you couldn't see it. But you see now. Because He's made known to you the mystery of His will. And that mystery is the exaltation of His Son. It's the exaltation of Christ. I used to think that God was just trying to keep me from going to hell. That's what I thought it was all about. Just trying to keep me from perishing. But I have learned that God has forgiven me for Christ's sake. and for His eternal glory. That's a big difference. That's a big difference. God will save all His elect and make them one in Christ. No matter where they're from, no matter what their nationalities, there are no nationalities in Christ. There are no nationalities in heaven. They're just one. Just one. And this is according to the good pleasure of His will. We never find room for boasting. It's always according to the good pleasure of His will. And after the counsel, it says, of His own will. Everything God does is after the deep searching. Now listen, everyone whom God saves, every trial He sends our way, is after the deep searching of His own will. And then He wisely executes it. And then I come to the last part. The work of the Holy Spirit. The Father purposed, the Son purchased, and the Holy Spirit applies it. The Holy Spirit comes and He calls, He reveals, He regenerates, He gives the new birth, He gives life, He instructs, He teaches. If He did not give you life, if He did not instruct you or teach you, you'd be sitting there saying, is this about over? It'd be like my grandson saying, just write one line so you can hurry up. If He did not apply this to the heart, you would not love it. You would not hear it. You would not be instructed. You wouldn't do it. The Word of God would not work in you effectually. There is no salvation apart from either one of these three. You take one of them out, you don't have salvation. You don't have salvation. Christ is our message. We preach Christ and Him crucified. It says in Romans, that's a gospel concerning God's Son. But a Son tells me there's a Father. And the Scriptures teach us that there's three in heaven. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. One God. The three divine, three distinct persons in the Godhead. And He's the one that creates faith in the heart. He's the one who leads us, guides us, draws us, and brings us to Christ and instructs us all the way home. And He's the seal. Look over here in verse 13, 14, I quit. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed. You were sealed. Listen. The Holy Spirit is the seal of that eternal covenant. Not circumcision. It's not circumcision. It's the Spirit of God in you. Spirit of God in you. And He's the earnest. It's like a down payment. It's like earnest money. He's the earnest. He's the guarantee of our inheritance. If you have Him, that you have the guarantee that it's all yours. And He's the first fruits of the pledge. And all this is to the praise of God's glory. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We have the work of the Trinity in salvation. Take any one of them out, and you don't have salvation. You don't have the gospel. You don't have it.